This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is your host, Jessica Cabrera, and I am here with my guest today, Ash Wells. Now, I met Ash on, a couple of days ago this week. We were in a study together on a Wednesday night study at our church, and we just had roundtable introductions. And so folks around the table were introducing themselves, and Ash introduced herself. And in about a minute and a half, she shared very high level points of her testimony of relationship with Christ and how he has shown up in her life. And immediately I was like, wow, this person is super interesting. I would love to talk to her more. And at the end, we stuck around and talked to one another for a little longer. And I looked at her and said, you would be such a great podcast guest. Would you be interested? And here we are a couple of days later, we're in studio, we're recording. And so the truth is, I've only heard some of the high points, some of the markers of her life that she shared around that table. But I really don't know how it began or what the inside details are. And I don't know the behind the scenes. And honestly, I'm just now getting to know Ash and learning more about her. So you guys are going to join me on that journey today. And most importantly, I cannot wait for you to hear what she has to say about how the Lord has completely just moved into her life in ways that have met her in some of her darkest moments. So Ash, thank you so much for being here today and for talking with us.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you.
Oh, man. All right. Like we said, I know that you've had some big things happen in your life, but I don't know anything about your background. I don't know where you're from. I don't know anything about your family. I think I heard you say that you came to faith as an adult. And so I have no idea how that happened. And that's where I want to start today. So will you tell us a little bit about yourself and then maybe how everything started for you with your relationship with Christ?
Yeah. So I was born in Long Beach, California in 1985 to age myself. but I only lived there for 3 weeks. So when people ask me where are you from? California doesn't come to mind because it's just where I was born. I was raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico until I was 15. And then my mom moved us to Kansas City, Missouri, where I lived until I was about 19, 20. And then I got married to the Army and moved and have been married to the Army ever since.
Okay, so were your parents from California?
So I was raised by a single mom.
Okay.
My grandma, her mom had lived in California with my grandpa. They got a divorce and my grandpa moved to New Mexico. And so my mom had stayed with my grandma. My uncle went with my grandpa. And then after my mom had me, she decided to move with my grandpa.
Oh, okay.
And so that's kind of how we got to New Mexico.
Okay.
So I've been married a couple times. Mm-hmm. There's this big joke that you have to get married to date in the Army.
Oh.
And so that was kind of my story with my first three marriages. And then after that, I was moving to Dallas and kind of just wanted to get away from the Army life. But my best friend had asked me to stay with her during her deployment. So I was like, oh, fine. And then I met my current husband at a bar in the middle of Texas. And he was 6 years younger, and I was like, absolutely not, no. But he kept pursuing me, and it's funny because he's a part of my testimony. I came to know God partly through him, and I was just like, okay, fine, I'll go out with you. And it was love at first sight. Aww. And then we've been married for 14 years now.
Yeah. So. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that actually gets me, that helps me understand more about your journey up until this time. So you're saying that being with your husband now of 14 years, I don't know. So what happened? How did you come to faith in Christ, and where were you in your life at that time, and how did things unfold for you?
So I grew up in a broken childhood. My mom was the single mother, and while we attended church here and there, it wasn't enough to give me a real foundation of faith. Mm-hmm. I knew about God, but didn't know him, and there wasn't really a relationship, just like glimpses of religion. Mm. So it's funny how I became a believer. My husband was raised Roman Catholic, which I think I joke that it's one of the strictest religions. Mm-hmm. And I knew I absolutely did not want to be Roman Catholic, but I had just had my son a year previous. And I thought, I feel like as adults, we should probably be in church. Like that just feels like something adults are supposed to do. So I was scrolling on Facebook, and I'm a photographer. So I saw this logo for this new upcoming church where we were stationed at Fort Hood. And I'm like, I really like that logo. Like, let's go check out this church. So I was in a movie theater, which really helped take the pressure off because I was like, okay, I'm not walking into a church building, and I'm covered in tattoos. So I was so terrified. I'm like, cause I went to church with my husband and I feel like I was scowled at for having tattoos. So I was nervous, but walking in the movie theater really helped. And the pastor that spoke, he was only 6 months older than I was, and he was covered in tattoos too. So I was like, okay, cool. Like this you feels could, like it you, might be like a place where I
could You felt more comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember being in the sermon and listening, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like this sounds good. Like my son is one, like this is where we should be. And then the pastor said at the end of the sermon, he said, if you don't know God but want to know God, raise your hand. And I didn't even think about it. My hand just went up. Wow. And my husband's hand went up too. And I was just like so shocked because he was raised in the faith, but he wasn't really practicing. And so, yeah, I just felt my hand go up and I'm like, okay. But I call that my lukewarm season. We were believers. We were, you know, doing the steps. We were going to church and we were singing the songs, praying when we needed something, but my life didn't reflect like a surrendered faith. Deep down, I still thought I had control. Mm-hmm. So in 2016, in August, when I was pregnant with my son Hunter, a neighbor who had just moved to Fort Hood invited me to a women's ministry group called PWOC. So that stands for Protestant Women of the Chapel. I had no idea that God would use that simple invitation to prepare me for one of the greatest heartbreaks of my life. So this is where I really came to know God. So I went in for a routine appointment, and I remember the doctor I had told the doctor I didn't feel him kick. Wasn't abnormal. I was a small pregnancy, but still the doctor was like, well, let's do an ultrasound right
away.
How
many weeks were you?
I was 36 weeks.
Wow. That's like full.
Full term. Yeah. I have 35 week babies. So I was 36 weeks was full term for me.
Okay.
And so the doctor put the ultrasound on and he grabbed my hand and he said, Ash, I'm so sorry. And my husband was sitting in the car with my kids because they were sleeping. They were still pretty young.
Right.
And I just was in shock. And I called my husband and I was like, you need to get in immediately. Please leave with the kids with the nurses and come in. And so he said, is everything okay? And I said, I can't tell you till you get in here. And so he came in and I looked at my doctor and I said, I really need you to tell him, please. And so he grabbed my husband's hand. He said, John, I'm so sorry, but Hunter's heart stopped beating, and my husband dropped to his knees and he was just in shock. And the nurse that was in the room started crying. And my doctor was a high risk doctor. And even he was like, wow, this was so unexpected. So then I had my C-section on the 28th, and then I was released from the hospital on the 31st. So on Halloween. So that was a Monday. We had PWOC on Tuesday. Even though I was just freshly from a C-section, I still wanted to go to PWOC. I wanted to be in my Christian community. And they were so amazing. They told me, Ash, you have two choices. The enemy wants to use this situation to pull you away from your husband and to pull you away from God. Or you can use the situation to draw closer to God. And so right afterwards, in February 2017, we got orders to Fairbanks, Alaska, which Alaska is a very isolated duty station. And it was there, and they have very harsh winters, like 9 month long winters, over 100 inches of snow. It's rough there.
Right.
And it was there that I fell to my knees. And
you were still grieving.
I was still grieving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, God, I'm all in. Like, I don't want to just live lukewarm for you. I want to be all in. And so it was there that I really came to know God. I remember like feeling what it was like to actually surrender, because I had heard about in church, like, oh, you need to sit down or like kneel and surrender and really pray. But I was like, oh, I have bad knees. I can't get on my knees. But I remember the sunlight was coming through the winter window and I just fell to my knees and I was like, okay, God, like I'm all in. I surrender. And it's really a blessing because it did connect my husband and I very deeply. You know, he got really involved in the church too because he had started to lose his faith as well. And it just really brought us together. So like that is the pivotal moment where I wasn't just like attending church. I was living for God.
Right. I think it's amazing to hear your testimony of that crossroads of really having to make a decision of whether or not you were going to pull away from God and blame him or be angry at your in the midst of your pain and grief, or if you were going to lean in and depend on him. Because I'm sure you have come across this just as much as I have, but so many people choose the alternative path. And there's something in the moment whenever you're going through such pain and grief that feels almost satisfying about walking away from God. Like this, I'm going to, you know, I don't need you. I'm going to do this on my own or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's such a lie. It's such a deception to think that walking away from him is because of hardship or because of pain is going to somehow make you feel better.
Well, here's what the church did for me that I tried to pass on. I had a sister come to me and she said, a spiritual sister, and she said, Ash, God is your father, right? I grew up without a father. God is your father. And you can get mad at him. It is okay. You have permission to. But don't stay angry. Be angry. Yeah, it's unfair. But don't stay mad at God. And so I felt like I had permission. Mm. And with that permission, I never got angry at God. Because I was like, well, I have this permission to. I'm not banned from being mad at God. But I don't want to be mad at God. And I have 5 living children. So I have friends who struggle with infertility. And just have a hard time. And I just think of like, I treat it like a Christmas scenario, right? So I'm a mom. And if I were to get my kids every single gift on their list, but maybe there was one toy that was sold out that I just couldn't find anywhere, I would be devastated if my kids were ungrateful for all the other gifts that I got them if I couldn't get them this one gift. And so that's how I look at Hunter. I'm so blessed with 5 living children that I feel like it would be ungrateful of me to be like, but how dare you not give me this one gift? And I find so much joy in knowing that Hunter never faced hardship or heartbreak or ever had to deal with bad test grades or loss or anything like that. He opened his eyes and he saw Jesus. And that is the goal. That's the goal. So,
wow. So after you and your husband kind of, it sounds like you guys were on very unified like journeys in the sense of both of you raised your hands at the same time. You were both in this kind of more like, we're going to give it a shot, but somewhat lukewarm, not really super deep relationship, dependent relationship with God for a while. And then around the same time, you made the decision to lean in into your relationship with God and not be bitter and angry and walk away from him, but really say, I'm going to be all in. And it sounds like both of you were somewhat on a similar path. After all of these years, you really had this deep experience of coming to the Lord after Hunter's passing and being in Alaska. And then from there to now, if we were to just like fast forward and not even know what happens in between, as you sit here today, what do you feel like you know is true about God based on how you've come to know him?
So for me, one, I know that absolutely God is my father. So I told you that I grew up without like a physical mm-hmm. father, and that always left a hole in me, which is probably why, you know, it took me so long to come to know God. I was just rebellious and angry. I kind of grew up like a troubled life. And so knowing that I had a father was one, so that was life changing to me. So I know undoubtedly that God is my father, but I also know that he is merciful because, you know, I always hear people say in the church even that God will give you, not give you more than you can handle. And that's not scriptural whatsoever. Losing a baby is definitely more than you can handle. The Bible verses, God will not tempt you more than you can handle. And I think people get that mixed up a lot because losing a baby is definitely more than you can handle, but the good thing is that God can handle it. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned, I'm a type A, I'm very like a control freak, and a little bit comes from trauma, but I've learned that when it comes to God, I don't have to be in control because he is in control. And if I tell God I'm surrendering this to you, 99% of the time I say mm-hmm. like, okay, God. There's some things where just by my flesh I try to pick it back up, and then I'm like, no Lord, I did surrender this to you. But I just know that he's merciful, that he's compassionate, that he's loving. You know, I haven't always had the best church experience. I'm very covered in tattoos, and I have people quote Leviticus at me a lot, but I know that God loves me and that God sees me as beautiful, and that I was perfectly made in his image, and that when he created humans, he said that we were very good, not just good, but very good. And so when I think, you know, especially as women, we're like our own worst critics.
Right.
I try to remember that God said that I am very good, and I try to repeat myself to that. And I have daughters, so I try to repeat that to them as well. Like, God, you're not just good. God said we're very good. And I also know that God knows every time I'm going to stumble, every time I'm going to mess up, every time I'm going to let him down. And yet he still chose me. He still chose to forgive me. And I just find so much joy in that.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, it's evident that you have a joy in your relationship with God because of this mercy and love that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has for you and for each of us. And also just that father figure, that void that he filled in your life is such a loving and caring figure, even when it's not always, you know, life can be hard, right? But the father figure is still there, wrapping his arms around you and taking care of you while you're in the midst of it. So, what else would you like to share with us about your journey?
So after Hunter's death, the military gave us $10,000 in life insurance. It's pretty standard for children. And we could have just kept that money, but we wanted Hunter's life to have meaning. So we used it to bless families in need for Christmas. Out of our loss, God brought light. Out of our grief, he gave us a chance to serve. And so Hunter's death, I love to share my testimony on him, especially because they say stillborn is 1%, but it's a large 1%. It's 1% of pregnancies, but the community is still very large. And so I just want people to know that there's hope. And so I share his stories, one, so that his name can live on, but two, because God gave me hope through Hunter. And so I want to share that hope that he gave me. And I've learned that this is who God is. He is near to the brokenhearted, just like Psalm 34:18 promises. He takes ashes and makes beauty. He takes pain and brings purpose. So I told you we moved to Alaska. That was in 2017, and it was very isolated, lots of snow. But I'm so thankful he did, because the storms were coming that I could have never faced without him. In 2020, during the pandemic, which is like the craziest, one of the craziest years. I also lived through 9/11, but one of the craziest years for our generation. And we got stationed at Fort Bliss in Texas, which is not my favorite duty station. It's El Paso. But we went there, and I, in October, had a massive seizure, and it came out of nowhere. you know, now that I know my diagnosis, doctors were asking like, oh, did you have headaches or loss of vision or anything? And no, there was no telltale signs. I just had this massive seizure. So my husband was fortunately up. He's a late night owl, so he's up doing laundry, and we lived in an RV. It was 2020, and I was like, let's just sell all our possessions and move into an RV. So we did. Worst decision ever. Don't ever recommend it. Not if you're going to be stationary. And so he was up doing laundry, and he heard just this weird gurgling noise coming from the bedroom. So he said he went in, and he said it didn't look like in movies. He didn't know what was going on with my body, but he knew I was incoherent and making this weird sound. So his medical training from the Army kicked in, and he started doing like a sternum rub, and he started pinching my side. Like, he was doing everything that he was trained to by the Army, and none of it was working. So finally he smacked me across the face. He hated doing it, but he smacked me across the face, and he said that I was like, ow, why did you do that? And then he was like, oh, she's okay.
It knocked you conscious.
Yeah. So
instead of unconscious.
And so he said like, okay, she's fine. So he let me go back to sleep. But I was complaining in the morning that my tongue really hurt. And he's like, oh, let me tell you what happened. So he's telling me the story, and I'm like, I don't think that sounds right. Like, I should probably go to the hospital. So he took me to the hospital, but this is in the middle of the pandemic, so they're not letting any visitors in, anything like that. So I'm telling the doctors, and they're like, huh, we need to get you into a CT scan and an MRI immediately. And then if you've ever been in the military life, you know everything is hurry up and wait, but this was a not hurry up and wait situation.
They did it
right away. Okay. So I went in. So they had to do a COVID test first, and then they were like, okay, we got that out of the way, go. And so they took me into CT, and then they took me into MRI, and they did a normal MRI and then MRI with contrast. And then they wheeled me back to my room. And normally you wait on the military doctors, but my room was lined with doctors. Mm. And so I just have dark humor. So I was like, oh, am I dying? Ha ha. And they're like, no, but you have a giant brain tumor in your head. And I was like, what? And they said, yes, you have a meningioma. And they were like, don't worry. If you have to have a brain tumor, this is the one you want to have. And I'm like, well, I don't want to have a brain tumor though. And so I was like, well, can I have my husband come in? And they're like, no, sorry, pandemic rules. And the nurse was like, no, we're going to bring her husband in. And so the nurse, bless her, snuck my husband in. And so I got,
well, there were already multiple doctors in the room. So.
And they snuck him in, and he was like, what? Oh my goodness. But I didn't really fear. I don't think it really settled in until they talked about that I needed brain surgery. And then I was like, what? No, I don't want surgery. And I remember pleading to God, like, please, Lord, can you take this brain tumor away? I don't want to go under the knife. What if I die? Because I'm terrible. I watch Grey's Anatomy. It's such an exaggerated show. But I was like, oh, all those people die.
Yeah.
No, my doctor, bless him, he was like, oh, please stop watching shows like that. It's terrible. He's like, that's not real life. That's like less than 1% of cases, and they just use it for drama. And so he's like, you'll be fine. I take this tumor out all the time. But I remember crying and thinking like, Lord, why me? Like, I already lost Hunter. This is only 4 years later. Why me? And so in March 2021, I refused to have the surgery in 2020 because I was like, it's the worst year that we've seen for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, let me have a break. Let me process everything. And the doctor's like, more than fine. So March 2021, the hospital started to open back up, and they sent me to Arizona, and I got my brain tumor removed. But I remember crying, thinking like, Lord, please do not take me away from my children. And he answered my prayer. I did fine. I had an amazing surgery. I've had the best recovery that my doctor's ever seen. And so I just had the goodness of God through that. But then my husband, we're very competitive. He had to go and one-up me.
Oh, no. So,
in May 2023, we noticed my husband. We got stationed at Fort Irwin, California. And if Alaska is isolated, Fort Irwin is the desert. It is the wilderness. It was my wilderness. It was very isolated, very far from family, middle of the desert, very hot temperatures. So it was already hard to be there. And my husband was losing weight drastically. So I looked at him and I was like, you know, you don't look okay. You should probably go to the hospital. But men sometimes can be stubborn. And he fought me a little bit and said, no, no, I'm fine. It's just because I'm back working. Like, it's hot. And but then he continued to lose more and more weight. So he went to the hospital and they diagnosed him with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
And I knew nothing about it other than it was cancer. And I always thought Hodgkin's lymphoma was the worst cancer, but actually non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is worse than Hodgkin's. Hodgkin's lymphoma has been around since apparently the 1700s and one of the most curable cancers. So again, the doctor said, if you have to have a cancer, this is the one that you want to have. And again, I was like, you know, they said that with my brain tumor. And we didn't want the brain tumors. And now this was this. So we were being stationed at Fort Irwin. There was no real medical care. And so they moved us here to Virginia. And my husband started treatment in October of 2023. So October is kind of our like highlight month. We always a little bit dread when it comes around because we're like, oh, Lord, are you going to put us through another desert season? And it was rough. He started chemo. He had 6 months of chemo and we watched his hair fall out. We watched his strength fade. We watched him suffer. And yet we also watched God carry us every single day. We call these years our Job season. All of them. Hunter, my brain tumors, my husband's cancer. Because just like Job, it felt like one loss after another. One trial stacked on the next. And yet, just like Job, we also saw the goodness of God in the middle of it.
Mm. Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. Those are a lot of really big life experiences to go through. Many people will live their entire life and never have even one of those scenarios. Yeah. So clearly, I'm thinking back to you being in Alaska and God drawing you in and how, you know, tender and loving of him for that, because he didn't want you to go through these hard things without his really, without that deep connection with him and that dependence and knowledge of who he is and the fact that he's with you. Because brain tumors and cancers happen to people every day, but not having God by your side is something that would have made this entire story very, very different, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how would you differentiate that? Like, could you explain to us how you face these things in light of your relationship with God and maybe how that would be different or how that was different for you considering the fact that you knew who Jesus was at that point?
Yeah. So people often tell me, you're so strong. And I a little bit dread hearing it because the truth is I've never felt strong. I know in my flesh how weak I am. I felt scared. I felt powerless. But in Isaiah 40:29, he says, he gives power to the weakness and strength to the powerless. And that's me. It's not my own strength. It's Jesus in me. And my faith has become a daily walk. I study my Bible every single morning. I've studied Job 5 times because I resonate with him more than anyone. But I just say that, like, I feel so much of Jesus's strength. Mm. It is not my own that has survived these trials. It is because I have a relationship with Jesus. So if anyone is listening and they're feeling weak or they feel beaten down or if they feel like God is distant, like, let my story be proof that God is closer than you think. Our children are now 12 and 14 and have walked through all of this with us. They lost their baby brother before they even got to meet him. And they watched their mom fight a brain tumor. They watched their dad battle stage 4 cancer. And that's a lot for young hearts to carry. But the beautiful part is that they've also seen God's goodness firsthand. Both my children were baptized this past April here at BCC.
Oh, wow.
And just really have come to know God through all of it. Mm. They've seen meals shown up at our door provided by the body of Christ. They've seen financial help arrive when we didn't know how we would make it. They've seen doctors baffled when my husband had no new growths after chemo, even though he wasn't officially declared in remission. So he's not officially in remission yet. And they've seen faith lived out in real life. And I believe with all my heart that their faith is stronger because of it. Mm. So if you're listening and you're struggling to believe or you're not sure God cares, let my story remind you. He is faithful. He is so, so, so faithful. And I can't emphasize that enough. If he carried me through child loss, brain surgery, brain tumors, and my husband's cancer, he can carry you too. And I don't want anyone to hear my story and think I'm strong, because I'm not. I want you to know that I'm not. My flesh fails, but God is faithful. There's only one reason I'm standing here today, and the only reason I can speak these words, and that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I pray that people will hear your story. Whoever's listening right now, listen to what Ash has said and be encouraged. Let your spirit and your heart be encouraged that you can turn to him. He is safe.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ash, for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.